ladies, it's Brittany Brazel. The Lord has given me a passion for motherhood and homemaking. From that passion, a ministry has birthed, No Higher Calling. There is no higher calling on my life than to be wife to Simeon and mama to my littles. I still have so much to learn, but as I continue to grow, it is my desire to share the truths God is teaching me. Hey ladies, thanks so much for joining me again on the No Higher Calling podcast. On today's episode, we are going to address a topic that I get asked about often, which is flying with littles. Now, I have to be honest, I've only done it once, but we did just about the biggest flight that you could do. We literally went from one side of the world to the other side of the world with four children. I believe they were six and under at the time. So yes, I've only done it once, but that one time was quite the flight. So I think I've learned a few things that I can share with you, some things we did well, some things we did not do well, some things that we learned just by our own experience. But because we have tackled such a big flight with so many little children in tow, I get asked a lot on advice for flying with kiddos. So I thought, well, you know what? Let's just do a podcast episode. That way I'll have something easy to reference when people come to me with that question. So without further ado, we're just going to jump in and talk on this topic. So just a brief intro in case you are brand new to Brittany, to No Higher Calling. You have no idea any of the background of our family. We are church planting missionaries in Australia. We used to live in East Tennessee. East Tennessee was home. Then we decided to make the other side of the planet home. Just over a year ago now, I guess, it was the end of January 2023, we packed our bags, we packed our like 20-something bags, and we headed to the airport with I'm trying to think of their ages at the time, so they would have been 6, 4, 2, and 6 month old when we left Tennessee. And we embarked on the biggest adventure of our lives. We left the Knoxville airport, flew to Atlanta, which was like an hour, 2 hour flight maybe. That was a kid's first time ever being on an airplane. Then we went from Atlanta to LA, which was about a 5.5 hour flight. Then we boarded an airplane in LA and flew 16 hours to Sydney, Australia. So all travel time added up. It was over 24 hours with flying and layovers and all of that. So it was quite the adventure. And I tried to do all I could ahead of time to prepare, to get us ready for that, to prepare the kiddos. So that's what this episode's going to be. Some of me sharing that, some of me saying, wow, in retrospect, I wish I would have done this, or I would have done this differently if I had it to do again, or I am so glad we did this. These tips are really in no particular order. It's just a random lineup of things that hopefully will be helpful to you if you find yourself flying with littles in the near future. So the first thing is someone gave me the advice. They said that people will forgive children for a multitude of sins. People understand. It's a long flight. Kids are antsy. Kids are grouchy. Kids are crying. Kids are upset. Now, yeah, some people do get perturbed by that. And we had plenty of that happen. But overall, people understand it's a lot on kids, especially big, long flights. Like, the majority of kind people will have grace on children. But the advice that was given to me is that oftentimes people do not have the same level of grace on aggravated, angry parents. So they'll excuse the little kid who's screaming and crying, I want to get off this plane. But they're not going to have as much grace on the parent who is just frazzed out and is taking that out on their child. And rightfully so. Yes, were there moments where Simeon and I wanted to scream? Yeah, it was a difficult journey. We were tired too. But as the hopefully mature adults, you really want to try to just have grace, ask God moment by moment to give you what you need to stay sane, to be kind to your children, to be a good representation of Christ to all of those around you who are on this very tight space with you, and just to get through it. So that would be really my overarching piece of advice. If I could only give you one piece of advice on flying with littles, it is ask God for patience and grace as you deal with them. The next step of advice would be to make it an adventure. Yes, the logistics of everything were weighing on Simeon and I. We were tired. We knew all of the ins and outs of, you know, got to get on this flight at this time. We're going to land on that time, which means we've got to run to get on the, oh, the kids don't need to be bogged down with all of that. For them, be excited. Make it an adventure. Bring them in. Hey guys, this is an adventure of a lifetime. We cannot wait to take you on your first flight. We cannot wait to take this big, long, crazy flight over at Ocean. Let's track it as we go. Even leading up to the flight, in the weeks, the months before, build that anticipation. Instead of looking at it like such a dreaded thing, make it exciting. Now, really, if you're listening to this, and you are listening to it with the purpose of getting tips for flying with littles, you probably fall in one of two categories. The majority of you are going on a vacation and you're going somewhere far away and you're going to fly there with littles. So that has one aspect. Obviously, there's excitement there because you're going on a vacation, probably an international vacation. You're really excited about that. If it's not international, it's probably across the United States. So there's excitement with that. Bring the flight into that. Make it not a means to an end, but a part of the journey. Make it a part of the adventure. The other group of you are probably like me. You are missionaries that are packing up everything you've ever known and headed out to a complete new, fresh start. That can be daunting, but it can also be the adventure of a lifetime. Try to just decide the moment when you step in that airport, this is when the adventure begins. That's something that we tried to do, and I feel like it served us well, especially in keeping our kids excited. Were there goodbye tears? Were there hard things? Yes. But we've really tried to, even letting family know, hey, once we get to that airport, it starts for us. And we're just going to try to face this new chapter with God's strength, God's peace, God's enabling. And here we come, Australia. The Brazzle crew is headed your way. So make it an adventure. Have fun. So those are my two like overarching pieces of advice. So let's jump into just the nitty gritty. Again, no particular order. I'm just going to throw some random things at you that hopefully will be helpful. So the first thing is to pack an activity bag for each child. Our youngest was 6 months, so we did not pay for a ticket for her. She was a lap infant. And actually, let me just make a note here for if you have a baby, you can request before you get on your flight to have, I can't remember what they call it, like a baby seat, baby bassinet. Basically, they move you to the front row, and on the wall, they have this attachable bassinet baby bed that they can hang on the wall. For our flights at least, we could not request this ahead of time. We just had to be the first one at the gate to request it. So whenever, you know, before we went to the bathroom, hopefully, or before we went to get a meal in the airport, we would go to the gate and say, hey, you know, we have this baby, can we get that? And we were able to get that, which was a huge blessing, especially for that longest flight. One of us did not have to hold Willow, was the baby at the time. We didn't have to hold her. I could lay her down. And that was such a blessing. I could change her diaper there. It was huge. So if you can request that, definitely I would recommend doing that for a baby. But all the other kids had a seat, and so they were all, you know, they had their allotted luggage, and one of those was a personal bag. So they all had their own backpack. Down in the comments, I did a video on YouTube where we went through the contents of their backpack. All of those things are linked. I'm not going to hash all of that up. You can go and find all of those particular activities. But we tried to just quick in a nutshell, we tried to do books, not just, you know, like a storybook, but Usborne books. I think they're called Paper Pie now. They have a lot of like activity books, lift the flap, open-ended, engaging books, things that was going to keep their attention for a while. So we did a lot of that. We had some little like games and activities and toys in their bags that they could do. We had some snacks. They all had their own cup or water bottle. Everybody had their own bag, which was great. That provided them lots of entertainment. The one thing that I will note here, well, two things actually. I know you have to be careful about weight. My kids had to carry these bags because Simeon and I were loaded down with everything else. Now, again, in a vacation situation, might not be quite like this, but missionaries moving to another country, taking all of our stuff on the plane, you know, we were quite loaded down with our own heavy bags. So the kids had to be able to carry these. So So I had to keep that in mind. That's why I strategized and strategized. What are the most important things in this bag? And of course, you want to have like a change of clothes. If they're in diapers, even if they're not in diapers, having littles, you probably want a change of underwear, and then put a waterproof bag in there that you can put dirty things in if needed. You want to have that toothbrush, all of those kind of like last minute, what if we get stuck in an airport kind of things. Or if you have a really long flight like we did, things that they can have for bedtime. So they all had a little blanket. Snacks, I packed way too many snacks. And I think this is going to vary on everybody because a lot of people told me you can't pack enough snacks. Well, I packed so many snacks. And what we had to do is we actually, when we came into Australia, we had to throw away so much of that in customs because they wouldn't let fruit cross the border. So all applesauce pouches, which are not cheap, raisins, all of those things, they had to be tossed. We did eat some of the snacks that I packed, but what I found was, they're giving food on the airplane. They're giving snacks on the airplane. We're in the airport trying to, fill up our time. And so we're eating lunch or whatever. I just found that we had overpacked on snacks. So I wish I wouldn't have bought so much and then had to throw it away in customs. So that is pack an activity bag for each child. Another thing that you can do, especially if you have a really long flight, is try to tag team. Now, it was Simeon and I, and then we had four littles. So often we were just dividing and conquering. Like you take the two older ones to the bathroom while I go and change the diapers of the two little kids. So that is a method, divide and conquer. But you can also tag team, which is what we had to do on that 16-hour flight. Because we got that bassinet, I was actually moved in a different seating. We were still in the same cabin, like a couple rows apart. But instead of being like how we strategized our rows being side by side, I was now a few rows up from him. So what we actually wound up doing, we tag teamed for a little bit. But then we wound up just, okay, you have all four kids for an hour while I go crash and get some sleep. And then we traded. And that was huge in letting us, we were able to doze on and off while we were kind of doing the divide and conquer method. But doing a few times of tag teaming allowed each of us to actually I don't have to worry about the children. The other one has them. So I'm going to actually settle down and try to rest. So that was a blessing, being able to do it that way. That also kind of leads into another idea. Book your seat strategically. A lot of times you can do this ahead of time. We did try for the most part to all be, there was a lot of us, so we couldn't always be in the same row, but to be across the row from each other. That way, mommy and daddy are on the ends. We're pinning the kids in. So if they want to get up and go out, they have to go past us. So we know that they're wandering around the airplane or whatnot. You may not want to be the seat right beside the bathroom because that can be disruptive to sleep. It can stink, but you might want to be close to the bathroom. You don't want to be all the way on the opposite end. Having little kids, you're going to have to frequent the bathroom a lot. So that is something to keep in mind. Another thing that you want to do is allow them opportunities to stretch and move when you can. When we were on that longest flight and I had the seat that was at that front row, there was extra space. And this was a big international plane. So these were bigger than say our Knoxville to Atlanta. But in this plane in particular, it had quite a bit of space there at the front row of the seats. So, this is kind of the bathroom. This is where the door is. So there was extra space. So the kids were able to kind of move around right there. And because I was sitting on the front row, I was able to be very close to them and watch them. But even something as simple as, hey, if you need to, just walk laps around the plane, let them explore a little bit. When you're in the airport, take advantage of that time. If you have that extra time, don't just make them sit in the waiting area. Walk around, explore the airport, see what it has to offer. If you need to divide and conquer on this or tag team on this one, maybe daddy's going to sit down and hold the baby for a little bit while mommy's up walking around the airport with the other kids, letting them run, letting them get out some of that pent up energy. So that's a really good opportunity and time to try to get some wiggles out, get some energy out so they'll settle in for that next flight. Another thing is when you are getting on the flight, a lot of flights allow for early boarding for families. So take advantage of that. It's really nice to be able to get in with all of your stuff and all of your kids and get settled before you have the crowds who are pushing and shoving and who are also trying to get in quickly. So take advantage of early boarding if you can. Use the bathroom before you board. Another thing to be strategic about is bathroom trips. The last thing that you want to do is get on board and everybody else is pushing and shoving and there's luggage in the way, and then you have a kid that says, I have to go to the bathroom, and you look and it's like 20 rows up from you with a crowd of people in the way. So use the bathroom before you board. Even if they say they don't have to, try. Everybody, non-negotiable, everybody's going to try. Another really good thing that you can use is strollers and carriers. Now, the carrier is really nice for little ones because it's easy to pack up and stow with you. But a lot of flights will let you check the stroller at the gate. They'll store it away from you, and then when you come to get off the plane, there's a stroller waiting for you. I could not imagine what we would have done had we not had that stroller. Sometimes it was piled with kids, but oftentimes we actually carried the kids or let them walk, and we piled that with our luggage, being, like I said, the crazy missionary family that has so much luggage, so many heavy carry-ons, because we're trying to maximize that free weight allotment. Take the stroller, take the carrier, the wagon, whatever you have, whatever your plane allows for, definitely take advantage of that. I touched on this earlier, but another thing is, as you're building this anticipation for this adventure, talk through what to expect with your kids. Not just what you expect, as in like behavioral, but what to expect. What is it like? You know, if they've never flown before, what's the process? Okay, we get to the airport. We have to go through security. What is that like? What are they going to do? You have to take your shoes off. How cool is that? You know, then you get to the other side. Then you get to your waiting area. Then you board the plane. What does it look like boarding the plane? What is the tarmac? You know, all these little things. Talk that through with your kids so that they aren't caught unawares. Now, some of it, it's a new experience, and it's a new experience, but prepare them as much as they can so they aren't caught off guard, so that you can try to avoid the two-year-old having a tantrum about taking off their shoes just to get through the line to them to cry, well, I don't want my shoes back on. Well, we need them on because we have to walk to the other side of the airport. Just trying to think ahead on some of that and prepare your kids. There are a lot of YouTube videos that actually are of kids going through this process. I cannot share the one that we watched because it's been like a year and a half ago and I don't remember what it was, but you can just do a quick search and find little kid videos of kids going through the process of boarding a flight. And that's really good because then they aren't just hearing it, but they're seeing it. They're visualizing it so that when it's their turn, they're connecting that. They're remembering that, like, oh yeah, this is what we do. This is what that, you know, big security camera thing is, you know, the big thing that scans you. Oh yeah, this isn't scary. I've seen that. Having that, helping prepare them in advance, I think is really good. It can help stave off some things that you might face if you were not prepared. Another thing, just a few ideas of some things to pack. Somebody recommended to us to use a lollipop or gum or pacifier or something that the kids are going to be sucking on for that takeoff and the landing. When you have all the ear popping and, you know, different altitudes coming into play there, something to help the kids. They may not know necessarily how to pop their ears. So something that's going to help them do that. You know, something again that they're sucking on, that they're kind of chewing on, that can help them work through that to get to the higher elevation. Another thing that's a great idea to pack, whether this is like a little tiny trash bag or Ziploc bags or whatnot, to have some type of bag that is for trash. If you're like us and you have little kids, somehow you just accumulate trash. And if you're in a little space, especially if it's a long flight and you're in a small confined space for a while, the last thing you want is snack wrappers and baby wipes and, you know, who knows, water bottles, who knows what else, cluttered all around the floor where you're trying to step and sleep and stow your stuff. So just have a little bag for trash. I mean, it makes it easy for the stewardess too. You know, you can just quickly say, you know, here's my trash. It's all in a bag. You don't have to get down on the floor and pick up all these little bits of snack that have fallen. That's another thing I actually don't have on my list, but I'm going to throw on here right here, is endear yourself to the stewardesses. whatever you have to do to make them like you. Be very kind to them. These are the people who are going to ensure that you have a comfortable flight for the next however many hours. So butter them up. Try to be very sweet to them. We did this on, I believe it was our Atlanta to LA flight. And we weren't trying to be like fake, but we just went above and beyond to be kind to the stewardess. And next thing you know, she sneaks us this huge bag full of extra snacks and waters at a time where they were boarding, so they weren't supposed to be passing those things out. But it was a blessing to us. It was a blessing to our kids. So that was great. Maybe that's why we ended up with so many snacks at the end of the flight and we didn't eat our own. But that was a blessing to us. So endear yourselves to the stewardesses. You know, our kids even colored some pictures for them, saying thank you for feeding us and taking care of us and all these things. There will definitely be more willing to bring you an extra pillow or blanket or whatever you need if you kind of do that and try to be as kind as you possibly can to them. I should have mentioned this earlier when I was talking about snacks, but as far as packing things, you might want to think through what snacks you pack. Now, because it's an adventure or a vacation or just a totally new thing for them, sometimes we tend to let go and, you know, we're very healthy. But this isn't the time that I'm going to pack carrot sticks and cucumbers. You know, we bought some fun, abnormal snacks, but I would be careful. Even when you're thinking through that, there can be fun, not the norm snacks that aren't loaded down with sugar and food. Like Fruit Loops might not be the best idea to bring for a snack. Why is that? Because your kids are going to struggle enough with something being totally new, the excitement of an adventure, being confined in this tiny itty bitty space for a long time. The last thing you want to do is really set them up for failure by cramming sugar and food dyes and all of these things down their throat. That is just going to cause them to be even more antsy and full of this sugar high energy. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking through the snacks. Pack your snacks wisely to help set them up for success and to help set yourself up for success as a parent. Choose those snacks well. Another thing when packing, and I mentioned this a little bit when I was talking about what we packed in their bags, but we knew that we were going to have that big overnight flight. So the way that the logistics worked for our flight, and we tried to plan it this way, again, in booking strategically, but we left early in the morning in Knoxville, and then we wound up our flight leaving LA, going to Sydney. Left out, I can't remember what time it was LA, but for our Eastern Standard Time, it was about 10 p.m. for us. So we planned it that way so that we could try to shoot for the big portion of our flight being our like quote unquote overnight flight, not necessarily depending on time zones, but excluding time zones, our body said it was our overnight flight. That meant that yes, we were fine for the kids to have a nap. The way it worked out, we flew Knoxville to Atlanta. By the time we got to Atlanta, we ate lunch. We did not let them sleep on that Knoxville to Atlanta flight. Then when we got on the Atlanta to LA, we tried to push off their nap till closer to the end of that flight to be their afternoon nap. Then when we got in LA, before we boarded our nighttime flight, we all went to the family bathroom and everybody changed into their jammies. Everybody brushed their teeth. We got their favorite blanket. We got their favorite stuffy. We basically tried everything we could do in a crazy airplane environment to have a normal bedtime. Now, it was not normal, but as much as we could carry over into this event, we tried to, because we wanted to help them. We wanted to signal to them and to their bodies, hey, I know a lot's going on. I know it's a lot of change. I know it's a very different environment. This is not your cozy bed. But we are settling down for a nighttime. We are going to rest. Here's your blankie that you always have. Here's your stuffed animal that you always have. You're in comfy jammies. We've ate dinner. We've brushed teeth. We're going to settle down and we're going to try to get ready for bed. That served us very well. Out of that 16-hour flight, our kids got a pretty solid 8-hour chunk of rest. I don't know how they did it, curled up like little snails in their chairs, but they were able to, which actually allowed Simeon and I, again, this portion of the flight was not like quality rest, but we were still getting some in and out dozing. And then, you know, later in the flight, when they were up, we did a little more of the tag team method of getting some rest. But I'm so glad that we tried to stick to that bedtime routine. I really think it helped the kids so much. Another thing that's really helpful when you're packing is slip-on shoes. My kids, when they're, you know, when they're in the car, wherever they are, if they're stationary for a little bit, they want their shoes off. And I get it. It's more comfortable, especially if you're trying to sleep. I slipped my shoes off. But when you've got tight quarters and you're over and atop of people and you've got to go to the bathroom and get up and stretch, it's easy, especially for the kiddos, just to have the slip-on shoes so that you can slip them right on, slip them right off, instead of having to worry about lacing and all of that. Another thing, a lot of the planes, the seats in front of you have that little like elastic bag. You can slip their shoes when they take them off, just go ahead and put them in that on the back of the plane. That way, when you're tired and it's dark in the plane and the kids kind of just kicked their shoe wherever and stuff's gotten rummaged all around the floor at your seat, that way when your kids are like, I've got to go to the bathroom right now, I'm going to explode, you're not trying to stumble around half asleep finding shoes on the ground. You can just, okay, right there they are, slip them on the feet, go to the bathroom, slip them right back off. Another thing that we did on our really long flight is we just got them little footy jammies. So the ones that go over the feet, that way I felt like, you know what, we put them on right before that flight. We changed actually before we even got off our flight. When we landed in Sydney, it was morning. So we drew out as long as we could that last hour of people taking turns going and getting freshened up and brushed teeth again and changing. We drew it out so that it was kind of like, you know, we tried to break up the flight instead of saying, hey, you can have your activity bag and dig into everything. No, it's like, okay, right now it's book time. Book time is for the next 30, 45 minutes, an hour, however long you can drag that out, to give like pieces to the trip. So that end piece was, okay, everybody is taking turns getting ready. But all that to say, I knew that those jammies were just really only going to be worn on that flight. And so I didn't even worry about shoes sometimes because they had footy jammies. I wasn't worried about their feet getting all nasty on the bathroom floor, on the plane floor. I just let them walk around in their footy jammies. So that's another idea there. But yes, and another thing, like I said, is kind of pacing out the flight. Okay, when are you going to try to get nap time to happen? When are you going to try to get book time? When is activity time? When is let's get up and walk around time? Okay, now it's food time. Well, let's try to let food carry us for a little bit. And the last thing I want to address on here is utilizing the TV on the plane. So normally we don't do a lot of technology. This was a time that definitely called for it. But we did not do it on that first flight. The first flight was an hour. It was the novelty of flying for the first time. So we didn't even need the TV. I don't think we did the TV on the second flight either because the first portion of it was a 5-hour flight, so it wasn't too bad. The first portion, we let them work through some of their activities, and then the second time is when we shot, you know, we really tried to shoot for having a nap time. Not everybody napped, but another thing we packed, which you'll see in the video if you watch that on YouTube, is all of the kids had a little MP3 player and their headphones, which was loaded down with Patch the Pirate, Jonathan Park. I'll link some of those down. Those are some of our favorite audio things. But I believe my older ones who weren't napping on that flight got to listen to their headphones at that time. So then on the big flight, like I said, we tried to settle in. They slept for the first 8 hours. That last 8 hours, though, it was just like, let's just get this journey over. So we did utilize the TV. Just be very careful when doing that. There is just a smorgasbord of things to choose from on there. Now, I know there's the kid, kind of the kid-friendly one. Just because it's kid-friendly does not mean that it's something that your family would approve of. And I found that out on our flight. I had to be very in tune with what my kiddos were watching. It actually got to the point where we just told them, like, look, if you want to change shows, get mommy and daddy to do it, just so that we know what you're watching, we can track that. And because we don't watch a lot of TV, I'm not always up on, okay, well, this show is safe and this show is not. So we really had to use some discretion there and be careful with what our kids watch and how much free rein we gave them over the plane TV. And this is the last thing that I'm going to throw in here, which is something that I heard recently on another podcast that was just absolutely heartbreaking to me. And I knew at the time, I had it on my radar to do an episode talking about flying with littles. And I thought, I've got to put this in there to hopefully just help someone else, help another family. So I was actually listening to Ginger Hubbard's parenting podcast, and her co-host, which her name is escaping me at the moment, but her co-host was sharing a story. She said that they had built up this anticipation. They were going on a vacation to Hawaii. She had younger children. I believe they were like under 10. They were so excited. They built all that anticipation up. They went to Hawaii. They had an amazing vacation. And on their flight home, she said one of the most amazing, most memorable family highlights. Really, I mean, a vacation like that is not something that happens often. You know, she was saying this is like in the course of our children being at home, of our family. Like, this was a momentous occasion. All of that good ended really tragically. And this is why. She said that on the flight back, I believe it was her oldest two children, and I can't remember the ages, don't quote me, but I'm thinking it might be like, you know, between 7 and 10 were their ages. She said, not their TV. She was being the gatekeeper. She was being careful watching what her children were watching on their TVs. But because every plane seat has its own TV, she said that somebody in front of them was watching basically pornography on their TV. And she said it was violent. It was nudity, full nudity. She said her children had never seen anything like that before. Rightfully so. Hopefully none of our little ones have. And that was their first exposure to pornography. And she said that it shook them. I mean, to the point where they actually had to get counseling to work through what they saw. It was so vile and grotesque on that TV. She said she went round and round. I believe Delta was the airline. She went round and round trying to call them, raise awareness to this. And they basically told her, you know, I'm sorry, ma'am. It's the media, you know? And that is just so sad. But she wanted to raise awareness in that episode of parents. Be careful when you're being the gatekeeper, when you're trying to steward. Don't just, in a plane situation, don't just focus in and hone in on what your kids are watching on their own TV. But it is our responsibility as gatekeeper, as protector of their hearts and minds. We need to be aware on what is being played on the TVs that are within their sight. And you know what? That's not easy. That's difficult. And you know, when you've got long flights like this, you can't be awake the whole time. But just to keep that in the back of your mind, keep that on your mental radar. When your kids are up, when they're moving about, when they're looking around, just keep your eyes open. Just be aware of your surroundings. You know, in parenting, in today's day and age, it's always wise to be aware of your surroundings. But even just bringing a heightened awareness in here, when I heard that story, I was heartbroken for her family. And I thought that is just something that is a wise admonition. You know, it's sometimes you hear things and you just can't unhear them. Well, when I heard that, I thought this is something that is a wise thing to address with parents when it comes to flying with little kids. So I hate to wrap it up on that sour note there, but I just really, you know, in flying with littles and giving tips and giving tricks and giving the wisdom that I've learned, that was something that I just thought it really needed to be shared and addressed to help parents and hopefully to protect children. So that's it. That's my lineup. That is my random hodgepodge list of tips and tricks for flying with little kids. Some things that we've learned. Again, go check out that YouTube video. If you have any tips and tricks, please let me know, because I highly doubt it will be our last time flying with kids. And the next time we do, we're going to have 5 kids in tow. So I'd love to hear from you. What has helped you? What has been beneficial for you? But hopefully, if a flight with little kids is coming up on your calendar or your agenda, some of these things that I shared will be helpful for you. So thanks so much for joining me on this podcast. I hope that the No Higher Calling podcast has been a blessing to you. If so, please subscribe, share with your friends, and engage with me on Instagram at nohighercalling_. You can also subscribe to receive the No Higher Calling encouragement email on my website, which is www.nohighercalling.org. This includes podcast notes, what I'm reading, spiritual encouragement, a glimpse into my home, and some of my favorite products and resources. You can also enjoy more content on the No Higher Calling YouTube channel. I pray that this podcast will encourage you to fall more in love with Jesus and to be the Christian woman He's called you to be. Thanks for listening.